Welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet, presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Harris Wishard. What's up, Harris?
What's going on, man? Just getting ready for the holiday season. Just had the annual Wishard holiday party, which is a little mix of Hanukkah and Christmas. And there are some naughty players right now, and there are some nice players, as we'll get into what the whole basketball world is talking about right now, and DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, Christmas is coming up on us fast. It's definitely the holiday season. Like you said, we got some naughty and nice players. Let's talk about one of the naughty guys first.
Yeah, he's causing a lot of tension in Sacramento, and this has been an issue for a while with him. And, you know, he has this attitude that the entire world is out to get him and certain calls aren't going his way. And we saw the antics yesterday and his relationship with Myles Leonard and the disrespect in the interview. And, you know, for me personally, you know, there's only so much you could take. And is his talent worth everything else that's coming with the entire package right now?
I mean, it's tough to say. Cousins obviously hasn't handled every situation great.
Right.
And he's done things wrong. He's let his emotions get the best of him. That happens to a lot of us. But, you know, the extent to which he goes, you know, it's not very good. But I think a lot of it falls on the team and the coach, too. They don't do a good job of helping Cousins. And, you know, they let him get away with this behavior constantly. And I think, like, the overall design of the team isn't set up for him to have success. And, you know, it is frustrating playing for, you know, the same team all this time and being such a great player and yet never sniffing the playoffs. So, I mean, I can see reason for his emotions and, you know, acting out, but he has to handle himself better. And, you know, you're a great player in this league, and after a while you just have to mature and start to kind of see how things fold out. And, you know, refs might not treat him fairly. You know, he's had a bad history, and they're going to remember that. So if you clean up your act and you just keep going forward, like, you just got to go with the punches. It comes with the territory.
I think certain players have moments in their career, or mentors in their career, or coaches in their career that they give all the credit to of my turnaround or when I matured. Now, his immaturity and his behavior is now well documented to the point where, I don't know, they said it the other night with Draymond Green when he was hanging on the rim in Golden State. You know, Dennis Rodman had this reputation. I think sometimes his reputation does precede him, but at the same time, he does put himself in a lot of these situations. I would love to see a veteran mentor. I would love to see a coach maybe interject. But as of right now, it seems this way. And now, I'm not in the Sacramento Kings locker room. I'm not a Sacramento Kings fan, so I don't watch it as closely day to day. But it seems that he is allowed to get away with, and I guess some star players are, but almost a bully mentality. We saw and we talked about on the last show about his interaction with the reporter. But, you know, for DeMarcus, we obviously know he's a hothead and all this negative energy that gets thrown in his direction. But you can, in a positive light, his effort and his passion for the game has never been questioned. But him channeling that the right way and him being around the right people in the right organization is, you know, I think it's almost like it's really like a worst case scenario to find a guy like this and put him in a situation like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, we saw how talented he was last night.
Yeah.
He's one of the best players in the NBA, and he really is – just imagine him in a great situation surrounded by great players. You know, he could really put up some good numbers and help a team win a championship. So talking about that, what team do you think would be a good fit if the Kings were to trade Cousins? You know, you talked about the veteran players, maybe a great coach. What team around this league do you think would be a great fit for him to land in a possibility?
Before Horford went to Boston, I think that was – something I thought with Stevens and playing around some good guards, and I think maybe getting out of the Western Conference where he has to go against all the, you know, the better top three or four teams in the league and some of the higher competition. But I don't know any. I think there are a few coaches in the league, whether it's Doc, and I don't know, San Antonio wouldn't be the right situation. I don't think him and Pop would go at each other. But I know Pop is one of those guys. And I think any successful coach in the NBA knows how to deal with egos and knows how to maybe stroke egos when he needs to. But I think with Pop, and he said it, we're in the business of getting guys, and this is in light of the Duncan, and I don't know if you've watched yet, the Manu and Tony Parker, those guys, what they had to say about Tim and what a great teammate. We know we'll get into Duncan in a bit, but Pop is into the guys that could check their egos at the door. They're kind of over themselves. And I just don't think Cousins is over himself. And I think in order to be a winner in this league, at some point, there's some sort of sacrifice that needs to take place unless you're an extraordinary player, which I don't think he's in that category. But I think any situation where he could get over himself, where there's a coach that could deal with his off-the-court behavior and kind of relate to him. I don't think he's had someone in Sacramento that he's connected to that has told him, you know, obviously there have been several sit-downs, but I think at some point it just has to go, the light bulb has to go off in his head and for him to put it all together because we know what kind of talent he is.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him in a great situation and really succeed. Talking about another naughty guy, you touched on Draymond, and he's also kind of one of these players in this league where he kind of lets his emotions get the best of him. We talked about it in the past, you know, kicking Steven Adams in between the legs and, you know, right, the flails and all that stuff.
That wasn't intentional, Nick.
Yeah, no intention at all. You know, just you just get your leg that high regularly. But so he's another guy that probably lands on the naughty list. Who else in this league do you think needs to clean up their act?
I don't know if certainly say clean up their act, but I think some behavioral things. Maybe Adams is another one of those guys that really doesn't care. Westbrook might get some coal, you know, even though he's been off the charts. I mean, just some guys that really just don't care. And as you would say, your favorite word is ruthless. So, I mean, yeah, you think about some other guys in the league that kind of play with that that reckless abandon and kind of have, you know, risen the technicals and the fines. And I know that the Kings are going to hit Cousins' pockets pretty hard, but I guess for the most part, it's not the 90s where Isaiah Thomas and the Bad Boys and all these other guys that around Christmas time might not even have celebrated Christmas. They were so locked in to the NBA season and beating guys up on a consistent basis. But I don't know. I think maybe Shumpert, for what he said, he wants to bring the hate back in the league. I don't know if Santa Claus would be too happy about that. I don't know if Santa Claus wants these guys hating each other.
Yeah,
that's that
true. That maybe the Clippers team in general for complaining about foul calls.
Yeah, though there's definitely a tremendous amount of complaining. I think Santa
and Doc Rivers.
Santa would want these guys to be more thankful. Well, for a while I thought they were serving something different in Brooklyn. Something was in the water where a couple of those coaches. Who was it after Doc? The coach that flipped out.
Mike Malone on Denver.
Yeah. He might not be getting the best of gifts this Christmas. Him and Doc. And there was another. There's been a couple like these guys that have just like completely lost it. Officials. Kerr has been known to be pretty crazy when a call doesn't go his way. So
yeah, we've seen some angry coaches this season.
Right? Definitely some angry elves. And my favorite movie, my favorite Christmas movie, is Elf. So when that classic scene where Will Ferrell says that writer is an angry little elf, and he says, "Call me an elf one more time." It's one of my favorite scenes of that movie.
That's a funny movie.
Yeah, no, it is, and that's, you know, you're getting some angry elves. This you know, tempers are flaring. You know, teams are starting to jockey for playoff position. We saw the whole Porzingis and Phoenix incident. So. Yeah. That was with Chris. I think, what was that? Chris.
Yeah, Marquise Chris.
Yeah, Marquise Chris. And, you know, that was a, you know, as Kai would say, some kung fu fighting. So there have definitely been some hate. I think that's always a strong word. You be careful when you say that. But I think for the most part, we understand who the – I don't know if there really are any true bad guys anymore in the NBA or true villains. We saw LeBron take on that role when he first went to Miami. We know the Warriors went.
I think Patrick Beverley.
That's a good one too. He's one that, you know, Dellavedova is not a villain, so to speak, but he's one of those pesky,
annoying type of players.
Yeah, like runty types that, you know, you don't want to see him, you know, chasing you up and down for 94 feet. But you hit it on the head. Beverley is definitely another guy that might get some coal in his stock.
And I think he might like it.
He might. He enjoyed it. He's given that team an edge that they desperately needed because of the style that obviously comes with the D'Antoni system. And you just need somebody like that, and usually like the guy that's backing up your better players is a forward or a center that, you know, the guy that's going to protect you from everybody. You know, Curry has the Draymonds and stuff. But for me, the Warriors obviously went from being the darlings, the new kids on the block, to the most hated very quickly, obviously adding KD. So a lot of people think that that was a naughty move.
Yeah.
So no. I guess you could.
KD will probably get some call from OKC fans for sure.
Yes, definitely. And burn his jersey again. I don't know if I'll ever see the point of that.
No, it's just money, to be quite honest.
And even like this, you're gonna be kind of excited right now. I asked this Christmas and holiday season, people know my Jewish background and roots, but my mom's side still celebrates it. I asked for a Jeremy Lin jersey.
There you go.
Because, you know, I just appreciate, you know how I appreciate the story and obviously Linsanity, but also, you know, the respect I have for him and fighting his way to a starting position in the NBA against all odds. And obviously, you know, my support for Curry, but anybody who's kind of against all odds definitely seems like one of the nice guys in the league too.
Yeah. Very smart too. Yeah. He understands other issues outside of basketball as well, which is always nice.
Yeah. Very intelligent.
You're going to rock the braids too though?
No, no, I don't. Yeah. Honestly, he's the most interesting. He might be on the naughty list for his hair. I mean, he's one of the – I mean, guys – certain guys have had some interesting haircuts over the year. I know for a while there was, like, this Beckham craze. Some guys had the blonde, whatever, the mohawk blonde.
But I think Alan Crabb has it right
now. Yeah, and there are a couple others, you know, that have rocked that. And, you know, we've seen the afro from Ben Wallace. I mean, this might lead you into a new, you know, topic of best haircuts or worst haircuts for that matter. We obviously see a lot of interesting, you know, dreadlock behavior, but we didn't think that that would necessarily come from Jeremy Lin.
Well, I think one of the best haircuts this year was opening. I think it was opening night. Gerald Green had the Celtics logo braided into his head.
Yeah,
that might. I don't think he can get much better than that.
Might be a little overkill, but do you have any
excited for opening night?
Did you see anything from Lin over the last couple games? You know, transition a little bit that made you think that he's going to return to form this year?
Yeah, I think this past game against Toronto, it looked like his three-point shot came back a little bit. I think the Nets are still limiting his minutes a bit. So when Lopez is playing and the Nets aren't facing, you know, I think the next two games are against the Cavs and the Warriors and they just played the Raptors. So when they aren't facing one of the top five teams in the NBA, I'll get a better idea of where he's at. But I think he's gradually – you know, hamstring injury – it'll probably take him a little time. His legs aren't there quite yet. So
Lopez is another nice guy.
Yeah. And talking about nice guys, who does everything right, you know, Santa's going to love this guy.
You look at guys that have really gotten it done in the community and really maybe have made an impact off the floor. Obviously, I think I'm not going to just go with the obvious guys and, you know, and Curry, and we know what LeBron and some of the better guys have done, but CJ McCollum is always,
yeah,
me as like a really
and Dame. CJ and Dame, I think,
both good dudes.
Talking about Cousins, obviously he was on our naughty list, but I've heard from Sacramento fans and stuff like that he's really involved in the community. He does a great job in Sacramento. So I mean, obviously he has his annex, but Santa might appreciate a little bit of work with the community.
Lowry seems like a good dude from the Villanova. Yeah. I know. I think anybody who comes out of that system for the most part. Jay Wright does a good job over there at Villanova. So I think that's a program that has produced some good all-around people and players. And I'm a big, big fan of Lowry's. But Ryan Anderson really seems like a really good dude.
Yeah. I heard about that tough situation he had to handle. Right. So I think that you know, he turned around and instead of going the opposite direction, he went in the right direction. He turned to help the community even more.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So, I mean,
we got the big games too, LeBron, Curry, everybody, you know, some of the stars do some great stuff, but also some of the role players in the league.
Alex Davis, these are good young people, man.
So, I mean, appreciate what they do.
And you think, and I don't want to make this about, you know, what the league has gone in a different direction since like the Malice at the Palace and what Stern tried to do, but there was a reputation in the league for a while for, you know, it was punky, it was street, it was thug. And I think the Stern's goal was to clean it up. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to be true to who you are and not necessarily change. But I think you have a responsibility as a pro to carry yourself a certain way. And I think when we see instances, and I know emotionally guys get competitive, and so I'm not going to negatively speak on that, but I think you just, and Barkley speaks on these guys not being role models, but I always have disagreed with him in that they are. But I think what you saw with Cousins is it's just it sets a bad example, and it could trickle down to lower levels of basketball. And the guys that kids emulate what they see on television. So that the fact that there are some really good guys in the league and they carry themselves with class, it's only going to help the communities like you talked about.
Yeah, exactly. But talking about Christmas.
Yes.
So as an NBA fan, what would be the top gifts? You mentioned the Jeremy Lin jersey. You know, right. You're going to get that for
– I'm also asked for a Captain – I also asked for a Captain Crunch sweatshirt.
Captain Crunch sweatshirt, you know, carrying over from the Halloween vibes.
Yes.
But as an NBA fan, what are the top gifts that you can get this holiday season? You know, maybe for some of our listeners that are looking to buy gifts for somebody or, you know, just interested.
Great question. I mean, obviously, as NBA fans, we get a nice slate of Christmas games, which we're all excited about. But if it's for like a significant other, if like girlfriends want to know like what to get their boyfriends, obviously like tickets to a game would not.
Or boyfriends getting for girlfriends.
Right.
You know,
I don't want to discriminate on female basketball fans. I know there are a tremendous amount of female basketball fans. So, yeah, I mean, obviously tickets to the game. I've always think like basketball socks. I don't think you could get enough socks. I know that's it's like a corny kind of thing, but like those NBA socks, those elite socks are really nice.
Yeah, they have a lot of cool socks now, too, with, like, legendary players on them as well. I think one thing, if they don't have it already, and they're a true NBA fanatic, they don't just like one team, they like the NBA in general, you know, you buy them that league pass if they don't have it already.
Yeah,
you can't really beat that, you know. NBA action all the time, wherever you're at, pull it up on your phone, tablet, Xbox, TV.
Yeah, no question.
And, like you said, getting the jerseys is always good. Me, personally, I'm a hat guy, so yeah. – Snapbacks, they have tons of NBA snapbacks, and even the winter hats are cool. I think you can't really go wrong with anything like that.
When I thought wish list, when you originally told me about it, I also think maybe certain things you might want to see different or installed into the NBA game.
I know, a wish list for you. Yeah, what would you have as the NBA wish list for the season? You know, could be a player, a team, or you want to change by the ref or the NBA in general.
Well, something I've always wanted to be, and I know, and I like that they're kind of going away from this in the All-Star game. Now it's 50% fans and 25% players, 25% media. I think that's something we've all called for a while.
Thank God.
And I also, and Bill Simmons brought this up in his book, so I'm not going to take credit for the idea, but I think this would be kind of cool. We know that right now the leader of the Western Conference is, I guess you could say Curry, but he might not even start in the – he probably won't start in the All-Star game because of Westbrook and Harden. A lot of people think that those guys will get the nod.
I don't know. Curry's got a big fan base. So, yeah, I mean, like – and, tough. I mean, he's still got a lot of love from the players and the media. So, I think – I don't know. They could all three start because of the way the NBA – the thing is set up. Couldn't they all three possibly start?
Yeah, it gets, I guess so. But I think with Duran and Davis and Duck Cousins probably would fill out the starting lineup. But my point is that – if there was a guy like a captain of the West and East, and they got to select their group, like that would not even necessarily for just specifically the All-Star game, but I think there should be more for that weekend or just more like interactive stuff with the fans. And I think like Horace wasn't a bad idea, but just also wishes that there would be some more high flyers, maybe a Westbrook in the dunk contest. I know for like
a big name
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see a big name in the dunk contest. We probably haven't seen one since, like, Dwight Howard.
Yeah, that's true. But not to say LaVine and those guys aren't great, but I think every NBA fan would want to see – LeBron's never going to do it now. He's past that point of his career. There was for a while that, like, people were really, like, pushing that and upset about it. And he
kind of wanted to see it.
And he was, like, dragging us along. Like, at least Griffin went out and did it. Westbrook hasn't yet. So I think one of my wishes would be to get that weekend. And I think the three-point – and people have come out and said this – that the three-point excitement has even trumped the excitement of the dunk contest because of the amount of shooters that we have league-wide. But
I mean, I think Aaron Gordon and LaVine did a good job of trying to bring back the hype. But before right. that, the three-point contest was kind of a little bit more entertaining in a way because, like you said, the shooters in this league, and then when it was Steph versus Clay, that was pretty, you know, interesting storyline.
Could you imagine a split screen, right? You got Curry on one side, LeBron on one side, and they announce their all-stars one by one. Like, what kind of –
Well, it'd be interesting if it did come something kind of how the NFL did a little bit, where they have all the NBA All-Stars selected, and then the two top players get to pick the teams, and they just go at it, not East or West, because it's not like the game really has value anyways.
Well, and also, for some reason, and the NFL Pro Bowl means nothing. It means zero.
Yeah, it's probably
the worst. I don't even care about the Pro Bowl. God,
when even the voting is terrible, so it doesn't really matter at all.
You have 12 guys that the All-Star games matter. The game itself doesn't matter, but the selection matters. Not only for contracts, but guys look back on their careers and, you know, making an all-star team in the NBA is important. It's important for a lot of these guys. So now that the fans have a little bit less of an impact, not to say they've gotten everything wrong over the years, but there have been some instances where they're putting certain guys on a popularity contest.
Well, Zaza Pachulia almost got voted in last year, and that's, I think, what really got the NBA scared.
Yeah. Well, he almost, as a starter?
Yeah, by the fan voting, just because, like.
People love Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah, or they must have got, you know, internationally votes, and the Mavs must have helped. So it's always stuff like that. But talking about All-Star games, they, you know, reportedly are coming to agreement on a new CBA, so collective bargaining agreement. And the new agreement, obviously the impact is by All-Star games, MVPs, and there's going to be this new thing where you have a designated veteran. You can have up to two on your team. And the contracts that the players are possibly going to get, I saw one that was projected for Kawhi Leonard if he were to get it, and I think it was by 2023 he'd be making $52 million in one season.
Yeah, it's a joke.
it's ridiculous. Like,
I'm going to have to go now. I'm going to go to the gym and work on my game a little bit with the way these contracts are going. It's – I mean, once finally got – did you get the feeling that I did? And you understand the behind the scenes and the contracts and ownership, general managers, and all their responsibilities and that what goes into putting a team together a little bit better than I do because I think you study it a little more. But also, didn't you get the idea that once Connolly got that contract that we were headed in this direction?
Yeah, no, for sure. As soon as Connolly got that contract and, like, you know, when you really thought about it and you saw the projection for the numbers, like, it made sense. And, you know, the contracts from here on out are going to be quite ridiculous. So I think you're going to see a lot more players probably opt out to get in one of these new contracts. But they also made some stuff in the CBA for extensions as well. So it's going to be a lot easier for teams to keep their big name stars. That's from the vibe that I'm getting in from what I've read about all the different reports. You know, it's going to be easier for them to keep their big name stars. And
they might not have to have as much of a home, like, you know, you hear like the word hometown discount.
Yeah. And I mean, free agency is not going to be quite as crazy, but there's also been reports that younger players, when they're drafted and they're on their rookie deal, they might try to force trades a little bit more because the way it works is your home team is going to be able to give you such a better contract than the other teams out there. So it's going to be some interesting stuff.
When this is coming to play.
This comes into play as soon as they officially agree onto it. It's probably going to start raising next season. I think it comes into play this year, at this off season, as long as everything's agreed to.
Yeah, I heard about LeBron potentially making 40. That came out the other day that his newest deal would be north of like his next 5-year deal would be because the Cavs are going to lock him up long term.
Just imagine how mad you'd be if you were like a former NBA player that has retired and you were like a superstar and you see these numbers getting thrown around and you see a player who's probably not half as good as you were getting more money in one season than you got your whole entire career.
Isn't that only going to continue to increase? I mean,
yeah, it's only going to continue to go up. Like at the rate that it's going right now, it's just going to keep jumping and jumping because the NBA is making so much money.
Is it just the popularity of the game or is it,
The popularity of the game, the spread of the game. I think internationally they're having a lot of success and just overall hype. It's a good time to be an NBA fan. And I think you said it too, the NFL is kind of, I wouldn't want to say in a decline, but they're not as intimidating as they were to the NBA originally, just because I think a lot of the concussions and the issues you see with domestic violence has not helped the NFL's cause. And all these players getting knocked out, how many big time stars are missing a whole season, you know, or missing time. And it's the NBA. You don't really see that quite as much. I know we'll talk about this a little bit. Blake Griffin just had to undergo minor knee surgery. He's out 3 to 6 weeks.
Right.
Clint Capella broke his fibula. Right. He's out a few weeks.
What do you think injury's going to hurt them a lot.
Yeah, I think – which one do you think is going to hurt the team more?
Well,
the Rockets or the Clippers?
The Clippers over the last couple of years have proved that they can win games without Blake. Not to say that Capella long-term is more important than Blake is to the Clippers, but I think anytime you were like the Rockets are playing really well. They're 21-8. We know about the success they've had, and they're not a very good defensive team. And I think anytime you take away a defensive piece like Capella, it might hurt them a little bit more. Listen, the Clippers, they could figure it out, and they could still win games in the regular season. We know they need Blake, and we saw once Blake went out, and obviously when CP is out, their whole system is, you know, throw them out the window last year when they lost the series to the Blazers. But when Blake is out, DeAndre steps up. They'll obviously rely a lot more on, you know, guys like Redick and Crawford. But I don't know. You tell me, is it crazy to say the Rockets could miss Capella more?
I don't think it's crazy. I think you nailed it right on the head, because the Clippers are obviously, I think, a more talented team, and they can kind of handle the loss of Blake. They've dealt with it before. Obviously, long-term in the playoffs, they need Blake a lot more than the Rockets need Capella to go further. Right. I mean, this whole Dante Mataunis thing with the the whole issue with the offer sheet and then them deciding not to sign him is really coming back to bite them, because they obviously could use a big right now, not knowing if he's fully healthy. But, you know, they'll miss Capella. They lost last night. Their winning streak ended. They blew a late lead against the Spurs. I think, and especially because they lack another big defensively that's as impactful as him. You know, Ryan Anderson obviously is not there for his defense. Danene is past his prime. They have Montrezl Harrell, who, you know, brings some energy off the bench. But Clint Capella really had good chemistry with James Harden as well. That lob pass they had working was pretty efficient. Right. So, I mean, I think you might be right that the Capella injury is going to impact them more, just because the Clippers should be able to win without Blake. They've done it before. Chris Paul's going to put up giant numbers. Yeah. J.J. Redick's going to get some more shots.
And he did last night. He was good last night, J.J. Redick was.
Yeah, and DeAndre obviously can get more touches now. They could probably – like, and that signing of Mo Spates will probably help out too. They have Brandon Bass. They have some decent bigs. Obviously, Blake's a different type of player. I'd like to see him get back, though, as soon as possible. That way they can keep their chemistry building for the playoffs, because if they want to have any type of shot at the Warriors or even beating probably a team like the Rockets, they're going to need to step up.
Now, I also wanted to mention this to you before we close that, you know, you got an up-and-coming Utah team, right, that we know about what they could do on the defensive end. They walked into a buzzsaw last night in Golden State, and I thought they were going to compete a little bit better than that on NBA TV. And early on, it took about 4 or 5 minutes for the teams to score. And I thought, oh man, maybe this pace, and you know, you hear this a lot. Oh, is this pace, whose pace are they going to be able to play? You knew the Warriors were going to stretch it out at some point and open the game up. But I wanted to see what that Utah team was made of last night. And it didn't make me think less of them. It probably made me feel a little strongly about how the Warriors have everybody, you know, under control right now. But I was looking to see what UConn to bring to the table last night, and they did not show me much.
Well, George Hill's still banged up.
Right, he's out, right?
Yeah, so he's been a vital part of what they've done this season. So they weren't full strength. Like, he's been really good for them. They obviously been out with him for they've been without him for a few games. So the Jazz are in the Warriors' territory with George Hill. They probably would have made a little bit closer. I think they're getting Alec Burke back soon too. So
I like Trey Lyles too.
Trey Lyles, you know, that's a nice young player off the bench. So, I mean, I think they're a team that's only getting better, but they're not close to where the Warriors are at right now.
And Portland getting smacked. I think when we talked about the 68 number, well, I talked about 68 number, I think they have no real true interest in chasing down the win total. But
championships are all that matter.
Right. But at the end of the day, the Spurs are 23-5 again. Like,
yeah,
just like you know how important that home court could be for them. So I think of San Antonio pumps the brakes, but for back to back years, you see both these teams playing at historic paces.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And I think the way the Spurs kind of do it, they don't really care about the wins, right, but it's all part of their system of discipline. you know, habits, and they want to build these winning habits. And if they're just going to play this way all season long, it's going to carry over to the postseason, and that's what they're hoping for, you know.
And Jordan's Bulls, like, they won 72 and 60. They didn't have – I don't think he really cared, like, if they had the one seed wrapped up. I really think that that group – because we haven't seen groups win this many games. I mean, the Lakers group of the early 2000s maybe compares to it, but we haven't seen a team that's legitimately capable, if they wanted to, 70 wins on a yearly basis. Did those Jordan teams really chase that? Because it's a tough – now that we talk about rest and we talk about –
Oh, I think it's a little different now, like you just said. Back then, they didn't really talk about resting games. They kind of wanted to win a little bit more than I think the guys do now. I think now there's a little bit more focus on championships and the big picture, when back then it was kind of not quite as much.
Well, they wanted to win championships, but I think they were just so damn competitive.
Yeah, they were just – well, and it was more physical, so you kind of wanted to – like, you didn't want it to bang with everybody every night. You didn't want to go out there and have, like, a soft performance.
Right.
You know, so I think that had an impact as well.
I think there was more of the attitude of, like, and I'm looking at the Bulls from the 90s now because I was just curious to see, you know, their win total of 61, 67, you know, even when Jordan left, 57, 55, 72, 69. I think there was one of those, and here are the years that they won the finals, 61, 67, 57, 72, 69, 62. So obviously a bunch of wins, but I think there was more of that mentality of, this could be the last time I play, instead of, let's just coast. Do you think the league is kind of getting a bad rap right now for the coasting?
I mean, in a way, but we kind of all know that it doesn't really matter until the postseason comes anyway, so I guess you can kind of understand it if you think about it as a big picture and you're worried about injuries.
Right.
But before we get out of here, Christmas coming up, I want to know. Obviously, you're going to eat your food. You're going to get stuffed, but dessert comes. What's your favorite Christmas Day dessert?
Christmas Day dessert. See, I'm a big, like, cookie person.
I 100% agree with you.
I don't dive into the cheesecake. Crumb cake is obviously very good. I actually like crumb cake and banana cake too.
I love all the cakes, but I am in love with cookies.
Yeah.
Like, I'll eat the special Christmas cutout cookies with the frosting and the sprinkles.
Yeah, oh my God, you totally done it. They're so good. I mean, I've actually, because I go to my aunt's every year, and my mom, like I told you, my mom still celebrates it, but every year, every single year since I was a kid, since I can remember, I would make sure that she had those cookies out there. And I think there was one year she didn't. I wouldn't even talk to her for the whole
time. You're savage.
She didn't put the cookies out. I was using it for a – now, holiday cookies, I mean – as trying to be an athlete too and trying to stay in shape, it's not easy during the holiday season. It's one of the main reasons why, not main reasons why, but one of the reasons why that it makes it tough.
I have problems fighting cookies all year. Just season. Chips Ahoy, Oreos, just in general.
Oh yeah. You know how I feel about Oreos actually.
Yes.
I had to seek help.
If you guys want to send us any Christmas gifts, you know what to do.
Exactly. For those cookies. But yeah, man, I definitely enjoy those games on Christmas. I know the Knicks play. Obviously, you got the finals rematch, which is going to be a lot of fun, seeing how those teams match up with each other. And obviously, there's no love lost there. So definitely.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day. I mean, enjoy Christmas. And anybody who doesn't celebrate Christmas, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to those that do. And enjoy time with your family. Yeah, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever. You know, just enjoy the time. Enjoy the time off. And enjoy the NBA action. And as always, thank you for listening.
Definitely, guys. Oh, again, appreciate all the support. And have a great night.